Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and ting-tang, walla-walla, bing-bang.
I'm Regan Lloyd. I'm a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam.
Guaranteed to blow your mind.
Anytime. That was good that we both picked musical ones with absolutely no prior arrangements.
That's what we call serendipity, when fate has a sense of humour.
Absolutely.
What's fresh, Regan?
The weather. It is nippy. Luckily, you were not around immediately when I got back with my cup of tea because there was like 5 minutes of torrential downpour. So,
oh, good, good.
Good thing we've avoided
Fingers crossed that holds off.
Absolutely. What's making news with you?
Not a whole lot. Still just trucking away on the old paper.
Fun.
Yeah, it's about a month out from due date now, so really got to start making progress.
How long does it have to be?
15,000 to 20,000 words.
Christing piss, that's a lot.
I haven't heard that one for a while.
Well, I'm all about
bringing it back.
Yep.
All right, so today we watched the third episode of Death in Paradise.
Because I keep hating it, but Liam keeps bringing me back with those next episodes.
Yeah, sure.
This one was actually pretty all right, though.
Yeah, this show, I'm struggling to find a good metaphor for it, but it's like something that's kind of terrible when you first start watching it, but then it becomes familiar and kind of comforting.
I think Stockholm Syndrome is what you're talking about.
Or like a really hot bath, and then eventually it cools down to understandable levels.
Yes, I see what you mean. I mean, do we have any new persons? We do have some new persons of interest this week.
We do, and also, I've been negligent in our previous ones for this show.
Have you?
Yes, because obviously we have Ben Miller as D.I. Richard Poole and Sarah Martins as D.S. Camille Baudet, and Gary Carr as Fidel Best, but I didn't realise that Danny John Jules, who plays Dwayne Myers, is Cat from Red Dwarf.
Me neither, because I've never seen it.
Well, he's, in that show, a sort of human-like creature that evolved from cats that were living on the ship over the thousands of years that the show takes place in the future.
Amazing.
And he's just like a cool cat guy. He wears a lot of suits, cares about
like he is literally a cool cat.
Yeah, that's the joke.
That's very funny.
Yeah, and so he's Dwayne in this show.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
And Dwayne gets a bit more of a prominent role this episode.
Yeah, I thought they gave both of the sort of side cops their own little bits this episode that were quite nice, I thought.
Yeah.
But our people of interest don't stop there. We also have our victim, Mona Hammond, as Angelique Morel, a old voodoo lady.
Yep, I don't know what the correct term is for that.
Witch doctor?
Maybe. I feel like they're different things.
I doubt it, because I think Richard said witch doctor at some point in this episode, and he's almost certainly wrong.
Yeah, that is the premise, that he's always wrong about Ireland. Always wrong about Ireland, is what
he is. Always wrong about Ireland. We also have Nicholas Farrell as Nicholas Dunham, the science teacher and headmaster of the school this murder takes place in. And he's just one of those guys who's just kind of been in everything. He was in Pearl Harbor, he was in Chariots of Fire.
Oh, yeah, it was one of those faces that I was like, oh, yeah, there's a guy.
Yeah.
But I also thought he looked kind of like the old guy from As Time Goes By.
I don't see the resemblance, really, honestly.
I wasn't wearing my glasses, so possibly I was just like, an old English man. Good, yes.
And rounding out this week's cast, we have Claire Holman as Molly Kerr, Nicholas's secretary. Michael Malone as the school chaplain, Father Charles Dean. And William Vanderpuy as Tom Hilton, the caretaker. He's mostly been in, like, Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit, and the Minions movie.
Amazing.
So, the sky is dark because all the stars are in Death in Paradise.
Absolutely. I actually have a friend who is an actor whose name is Molly Kerr, so I found that very funny.
Neat.
Yeah, you know it's weird when someone has, like, the exact name of a person you know on TV, even though statistically that's going to happen.
Like Will Smith.
Yeah, that's a name.
A name that I very almost have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or that joke in 30 Rock where there's that guy called Wesley Snipes.
Yes, exactly.
But I digress. Any preliminary thoughts about this week's episode, Regan?
No.
Okay, I have some.
Please share them.
Okay, I'm going to probably ramble a bit here, but basically, my first thought is that this is some sort of, like, weird Richard as the island atheist subplot.
Right, yes.
Where he just comes in and just starts, like, dumping over their established religion because he doesn't, you know, it's not the culture he was raised in, so obviously it's stupid malarkey.
Yes, yes.
That happens a fair bit.
It does indeed.
Secondly, this was a case that you might see in Jonathan Creek, where someone accurately predicts their own murder, and then it'd be like, but then how did she know the murder was going to happen?
Yeah, it did feel a bit... It felt a bit, like, out of the range of Death in Paradise.
Yeah, it didn't seem as formulaic as it normally is either, honestly.
No, I agree. Which is good, because that's been, like, part of our beef with Death in Paradise.
Yeah. My other thought is that, setting-wise, it felt like they were kind of throwing too much at the wall, in that you had this voodoo stuff going on, but then also this sort of really elaborate sort of school structure to it.
Yeah, that, I mean, I don't know that it was sticking too much at the wall, maybe.
All right.
I don't know.
I just felt like, you know, you can... It's rare that something would do, like, a voodoo episode and also one of the protagonists' high school murder episode at the same time.
Yeah, no, that... Oh, yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about all that, like, backstory high school stuff.
Because, for the listener who may not have watched the show, supporting cop Fidel went to high school at the school the murder takes place in.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'd actually completely forgotten about all that already, despite only having finished the episode 15 minutes ago. So that's a good indication of how well this episode's going to turn out.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing that we may as well touch on at the top here is the latest in the recurring series of bits of Richard doesn't like island life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say recurring bits of Richard versus the lizard. Which actually does get addressed quite a bit in this episode.
Yeah, that's like a significant subplot.
Yes, but Richard doesn't like island life and he also doesn't like island food.
Yes, so this week he's starving himself.
This is a complaint I have heard leveraged against many British people overseas.
Mm-hmm.
That they just refuse to eat anything that's not a roast with Yorkshire puddings or a cottage pie or a shepherd's pie or
quote-unquote English food.
Yeah, basically.
There's this bit at the end of the episode where Camille's mum is going to make Richard some English food, you know, to celebrate catching the murderer. Spoiler alert. They get him.
Yes. I know we said this episode's not formulaic, but I think it is not much of a spoiler to reveal that they do,
Richard,
in fact, solve the murderer. It was Richard, and she's actually making him his last meal.
She reads off, like, I think she wrote it on her hand, the list of English dishes that her mum was making, and they're just things like roast beef, but she reads them off like the most exotic thing you've ever heard of.
Yorkshire pudding.
Mm.
Is
Richard racist or something? What's his deal? Why does he hate everyone and everything about the island so much?
Well, I think he's just a grumpy middle-class white British man.
That's true.
Which, yeah. I mean, Carl Pilkington's got a whole TV show about it.
Is he racist?
I don't think he's racist. I think he's just, like, likes what he likes.
That's
which
true.
Is what he knows, which is English food.
I didn't mean to imply Carl Pilkington was racist. I'm sorry.
I'm sure he will forgive you. He seems like a stand-up chap.
I bet he can hold a grudge.
Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But Richard
Send Ricky
Poole,
Gervais to
fictional
kick down
character.
My door.
I reckon you could take Ricky Gervais, to be honest.
He's got a few pounds on me.
Yeah, but you're like wiry and strong. You work out.
Yeah, take that, Ricky.
I mean, he might as well, but I don't know. I just feel like you'd like...
But what if he sends pop star era Ricky Gervais to kick down my door? You know, when he was hot?
Has he ever been hot?
Hotter.
Mm,
when he was
no.
in that music video?
Still not. Can't picture a hot Ricky Gervais, to be honest. Are you sending me a picture? Oh my god!
Right.
When is this from?
I don't know, the 90s?
That's crazy! Wow, okay. Well, I have to go think about
some
things now.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Anywho, should we start talking about our episode?
I reckon let's get into it.
Okay, so we open with some sort of voodoo ceremony occurring.
Yeah, because there's an audience. I don't know if it's like, did they pay money to go? Are they just watching her on the beach?
Or is it just like church or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. I don't actually know anything. I didn't realise that voodoo was a religion until they said it in the episode, so.
Yeah, nor I. In fact, they're probably banking on a lot of their listeners probably not knowing that.
Yeah, that's probably why they put it in there.
Yeah. And it didn't seem overly forced as well because they've already established that Richard's an ignorant prat, so.
standing in for all of us ignorant brats watching the episode evidently. At this point.
So this woman, Angelique, is giving this sort of voodoo thing. She's like, the truth is in the bones. There's a scarred man and he's a killer and he's killed before and he's going to silence me. I'm going to be murdered.
Yep. Saying directly to the policeman, Dwayne.
Oh yeah, Dwayne was there, yes.
Was there watching. And who was he with?
Just people.
Oh, okay. Well, because someone ran off and then he ran after them.
Yeah, I think he just, you know, extras.
Oh, okay, great. No, that's good. Yeah. That's all.
Then shortly afterwards, they get a call down at the station because the next day she's been found murdered. Or her body's been found, at least, at the Notre Dame School on the island.
Yeah, so how'd that happen? Well, that's what we're here to find out.
We find out that there were signs of rictus in the body and blood around the lips indicating that she'd been poisoned. And then we see her face, and it's the woman who was doing the voodoo ceremony.
Ooh, oh my God!
Happy Halloween!
And then Dwayne or Fievel?
Fidel.
I know, as I was saying it, I was like, this is wrong.
You're thinking of An American Tale too, Fievel Goes West.
I know, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about when we were making all the Fievel Goes West jokes. One of them
I've
is
never
like,
actually seen that.
No, me neither. It was just one of those movies that, like, pass
people
me by.
Drop a lot as a reference.
Yeah. But one of them notices that something smells like almonds, which indicates the presence of cyanide.
Mm. Oh, and we also had the credits in between that, like, again, cut from the dead body to the credits. Never stops being jarring.
I know, it's just so jaunty.
Yeah. And not only in music, but in the visuals too. It's like, ooh, goofy detective hijinks. It's a pretty rapid
it's sunset.
Cut from varyingly degrees of grisly murder. Also importantly in this scene, Richard examines the science skeleton they have, because she's murdered in the science lab of the school. So he examines the anatomy skeleton and is like, oh, it's Dr. Hudson, my old high school science teacher. He's barely aged a day.
Ha 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 ha.
Shut up, Richard. A woman has died.
Exactly. Have some fucking respect.
There were so many moments in this episode where he would just make some sort of asshole quip when like people around him were clearly distraught.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Like, obviously it's a lighthearted detective show, but it just seems so much more noticeable in this episode than all the other ones.
Yeah, yeah. Don't
but anyway,
know
why. So they are in the classroom of Nicholas Dunham. He's the headmaster at the school and also the science teacher. And he's also the victim's mother-in-law. I mean, the victim is his mother-in-law.
So he's quite involved.
Yeah. And he recognises Fidel because he used to go there. And as you were saying, Fidel recognises an almond smell in the rum glass that she was drinking from. Because he always has rum in his office, and Fidel knew where he kept it.
Because Fidel apparently spent his time right at school.
Yeah. Planning the perfect murder, so says Richard.
Well, I mean, you know, apparently everyone's just planning murders in their private lives.
Hmm, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Here's how I'll do mine. No.
Well, no, you can't, because you've lost your red wine alibi.
As they banter with each other, Richard performs the Prussian blue chemistry test to determine that there was cyanide in the glass, because he pours chemicals in them and they turn Prussian blue.
This is also done in a very science teacher-y way, despite the fact that he's not actually the science teacher.
Well, I felt like that was a bit that worked well for me, because he was trying to sort of show off and do his sort of science demonstration and everyone else was just talking over him the whole time.
Yeah, but, you know, a fun time had by all.
Yeah. So the rest of the stuff in this scene establishes that there were three other people on the school grounds. Molly Kerr, the secretary, Tom Hilton, the caretaker, and Father Charles. And that allegedly the victim came to see him to borrow some books on, what, herbology? No.
They just said reference books on herbs.
Yeah, that's right. And as they're leaving, Richard's like, did you know she practiced voodoo? And he says, we rarely discussed it. This is a Roman Catholic school, after all.
Yeah, which was a bit weird.
Yeah. And as we're being introduced to Molly, we get our man Nicholas's alibi, where he had left, before she died, he had left her in his lab to go run some errands. ostensibly to go to the market and buy some fruit. But as soon as he got there, he was called back by Molly, his secretary.
And yet, why would you leave someone alone in your classroom?
Why indeed?
Well, we'll find out.
Because we know that happened. Oh yeah, I remember why. We'll get to that. Anywho,
I don't remember why, so I'm looking forward to that.
Sure. Father Charles went over to go have some coffee with him, but then found the body and went and called got Molly.
Which is weird that you would call the secretary before the police.
I guess she has a phone? Do people on this island not have mobiles?
I was wondering that when you said that she called him back from the markets. Like, did she have to go and physically call him back from the markets, or did she phone his mobile?
Yeah, I guess we'll never know. It's just a different world on the island there. It's just really slow paced. They don't need mobiles like we do.
No, exactly, because Richard Poole has a mobile, but he doesn't fit in there, so we can't use that as conclusive evidence.
Exactly. And we only ever see him making international calls on it.
Oh, no, but there was a whole mobile in the first episode that I shot the sheriff on.
No, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
Case closed.
So at this point, Camille is pretty sure it was the headmaster, Nicholas, and Dwayne agrees, and he's like, the prophecy said it was. And Richard basically just says, shut up, voodoo is bullshit.
Yep.
And Camille is like, you can't dismiss a whole religion. And he's like, can't I? I'm going to go post about this on Reddit.
And that's when we all went, oh.
About what?
Learning it was a religion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And she talks about how it has its foundation in Catholicism.
Yeah. And which was very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
See, this show is fun and educational.
Hmm. This show or this show?
What?
The show or our show?
Oh, I meant Death in Paradise, but you could also extend that to us, I guess.
Yeah, we've learned all sorts of things about how to dry out phones.
And how to commit murders.
So Richard, yeah, he thinks that too much of the evidence is pointing towards Nicholas and that he feels like he's being manipulated. So they're sort of butting heads over that at the moment. So rather than going to speak with the guy who found the body, instead they go check out the victim's house.
Because that makes more sense.
Yeah. And it's one of those sort of classic spooky voodoo shacks.
Yeah, which, I mean, obviously I don't know a lot about voodoo, but it seems weird that they're sort of like, oh no, voodoos are like a legitimate religion. But then they're also like, here's a caricature of a person who practices voodoo.
Here's a hut full of beads and formaldehyde lizards and that sort of crap.
Yeah.
It's like so was just stopping short of having like a shelf full of shrunken heads.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, they go there, they find that she has plentiful books on herbal remedies. So why would she go there to borrow one, huh? And also a little
Well, we're about to find that out. I didn't want to interrupt you, so you continue.
And they also find a little shrine to her dead daughter and Nicholas's wife. Ex-dead wife.
What's the correct terminology there? Because I guess it's not technically his ex-wife, because
his widow? Widower?
Well, he's the widower.
Isn't he the widow?
No, widow's female, widower's male.
Is that a gendered term?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I did not know that. Are you a widower if you kill your spouse?
Well, that's a question.
Because you have created yourself a widow? Yourself? You are widowing yourself?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good... I don't know. Gonna have to take that one to Yahoo Answers.
Dear Reddit.
Dear Jeeves, could you please tell me...
My dearest Jeeves, I've missed you so much. Couple of quick questions.
Could you just research this for me real quick?
Oh, they also find a burnt photo of Nicholas. Like, why has she got burnt photos of her... Not stepson, son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
Yeah, maybe she hates him.
And so here we think that maybe there may have been motive. They're always very big on pushing the fact that the killer had to have means, motive, and opportunity.
That's the foundation of a good case.
But they bring it up at least 3 times per episode.
It's good for us.
That's true. That's true.
So they're like, okay, we've snooped around. Let's go speak to Father Charles. And we get a delightful little scene between Dwayne and Fidel where Dwayne is going to go drive around on a motorcycle and look cool. And he makes Fidel stay back and process evidence because he's really good at it.
And also because Dwayne looks way cooler on a motorbike.
Yeah. And Fidel is upset because since he went to that school, he's upset that his headmaster is probably a murderer. And he thought Father Charles and Molly were the nicest people he's ever met. So how could it be them? So
yeah, I mean, I can see that would fuck you up a bit.
Yeah. So then he's like, so I hope it's Tom, the handyman, because I don't really know him that well. And then Dwayne's like, but I know Tom, the handyman, really well, and I think he's great.
And herein is a problem with working as a policeman in a very small community.
Yeah, does that sort of thing ever happen on Midsummer Murders?
Like, you would think, right?
Yeah, especially since, like, half the murders are, like, people who are in clubs his wife is also in.
Exactly.
I guess he's really good at maintaining professional detachment.
That's true.
Maybe he's a RoboCop.
The Midsummer Murders guy or
yeah.
Everyone in... Okay, yeah. It's a theory that I will entertain when we do a Midsummer Murders episode.
All right, in due time. Anywho, they go speak to Charles. He found the body. He thought she died of natural causes, but he was wrong. And he explains that Angelique's daughter, Delilah, died of suicide.
Yes. So yeah, she went...
Go on.
No, I was going to say something that I think we actually found out later in the episode. So
let's just go through that whole subplot now to get out of the way.
Okay, so we find out that she was having an affair.
With
Father Charles. Yeah. So that's why he joined the priesthood.
Yeah, and they met when he was, I don't know, doing whatever, and she crashed her bike into his car and broke two bones in her arm.
Yeah, and then they somehow from there they hit it off and weird.
And he talks about how he was like really pressuring her to leave Nicholas, but she didn't want to, and it was destroying her. So then she jumped off a cliff, and her body was never found.
So he felt guilty because he felt like he was responsible, and that's why he ended up joining the seminary.
The cemetery.
No, she joined the cemetery.
Pretty good. But then she never found the body.
I know, but you know, still. Yeah.
She joined the cementery.
Oy!
That's a joke about spoilers, because she was dissolved.
Oh, that was a massive spoiler. Yeah, so basically that's the whole subplot, is she'd had an affair, and the husband knew about it. The mother-in-law blamed the husband for her death.
Mm-hmm.
Father Charles was there. That's it.
And now Father Charles is a father, and also he and Nick are really good
and
friends.
And also
now.
A Charles.
They're like BFFs and they get coffee all the time.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That is kind of weird given the
That's
context.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. But oh well.
Yeah.
It is not our place to judge.
Anywho, they bring in Tom. His subplot doesn't really go anywhere. They just bring him into the station and like he does some bits.
Yeah, his subplot mainly revolves around the fact that he had half a beer at the pub left over, so he needs another one.
Yeah. I'm not really sure why he's in the episode, to be honest.
No, I know. It was just red herring central, wasn't it?
I guess so, yeah. But they didn't even really give him enough attention to make him a proper red herring.
No, that's true.
Well, and I guess this episode was atypical in that because of the way the murder was set up and how all the evidence seemed to be pointing towards Nicholas Farrell, so much of the investigation was just focused directly on him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we've reached the point where they go and arrest him.
Yep. Halfway through the episode, so... Yeah.
A bit earlier than usual, but maybe we can wrap this one up and have an early night.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's probably Friday night. That's when they play mystery shows. We've got badminton practice tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you know, you gotta get your rackets all racked up for the big tournament.
Good work.
I clearly have no idea about sports. So... They arrest him, and then the boss of the police station...
The commissioner.
Is very upset because he holds a lot of influence on the island.
Nicholas does.
Well, I suppose the commissioner does as well, but yes, the commissioner was talking about Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can't arrest anyone with influence unless you have a watertight case, which they absolutely do.
And all they've got really now is that he lied about going to the markets because Dwayne checked and no one saw him there, and he's super well known.
So... Shit.
Shit. But what was he doing if he wasn't at the market? Maybe he should tell us. And he's like, I'll show the commissioner. What was he doing?
Well, he's doing something illegal that involved computers, which I didn't quite understand.
Okay. The school board recently bought them a heap of new computers. But because the current computers all worked fine and were perfectly modern, he took the computers that weren't his property and he gave them to orphans in a nunnery.
I mean, what a perfectly constructed alibi.
Nuns and orphans.
Yeah, you can't get any better than that.
That Nuns and Orphans sounds like a bit like the name of a buddy cop show.
Oh yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. One's a street smart orphan who is trying to turn his life around, and the other is a
hardcore nun who's trying to turn her life around.
Who's an
ex-cop. Yes. Yeah, no, okay, yeah, we should pitch that to someone.
Oh, and the tagline is, consider yourself under arrest.
Yes! Yes, I love it.
Pretty good.
Don't talk yourself down, Liam, I say I love it.
Anywho, the commissioner says they have to let him go, and he's like, you cops are idiots, blue, blue, blue.
Exactly like that, that's exactly how he says it.
Mm. And then, for some, this seemed really weird to me at the time, but in hindsight it makes a lot of sense, that Richard pulled up the information on Nick's house and was, like, obsessed about the grouting on his driveway or something.
Was that not a massive red flag for you?
No, it wasn't for me.
Oh my god. You obviously don't know enough about covering up murders.
Well, I do now.
I was like, ding, 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 ding. Book 'em, Dano. So what happened for those playing at home?
They buy a fish tank.
I also didn't understand the fish tank thing.
That was to get fingerprints off latex gloves.
But how did he do it?
I wrote this down, actually.
Bless
you. So you put the light bulb in the fish tank and you attach it to it with super glue. Or you put in the fish tank with super glue. The light bulb heats the foil that is also there that I forgot to mention. And then the foil heats the glue through conduction. Then the glue evaporates. Mm-hmm. And you've also got the gloves in the fish tank. So the fumes will stay in the fish tank and will only stick to quote...
porous, fatty, protein, amino...
To quote Richard, fumes will only stick to the fatty acids, amino acids, and proteins you find in the fingerprints, allowing you to reveal fingerprints on difficult surfaces, such as the inside of latex gloves.
And then he sassily brushed his teeth and walked off.
Mm. I was really hoping, because later on he hands these gloves that have been processed like this to Fidel and tells him to pull the prints from them. And I was really hoping that somehow he would find that he'd already done that.
Oh yeah, but no.
No. Anywho, he's doing some paperwork and the fish is staring, the lizard is staring at him.
Of course it
is. Reminds him of his mother.
Classic lizard bit.
So he calls his mother and she immediately starts annoying him. Smash cut. Funny.
Yeah.
He talks to this lizard a lot. I feel like one day there'll be an episode where it starts talking back.
Yeah, when he goes, he's going to get like heat stroke or something.
Yeah. Or maybe, okay. I see two scenarios before me and choose the one that you prefer, I guess. Choose your own adventure.
Okay.
Scenario one, he gets heat stroke and Kangaroo Jack style has a hallucination about the lizard rapping to him.
I mean, this is a pretty good option. What's option two?
Option two, the reason he leaves the show is because he cracks and the lizard starts telling him to murder people.
Oh, God, I really like both of them. I thought you couldn't top the rapping lizard, but you did. Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to keep watching until season four to figure it out.
Anywho.
Yes.
They're like, Nicholas was trying to intimidate us by calling the commissioner down. So let's show him that we aren't intimidated.
And they do that.
They go to his house and they're like, ah, yes, the patio. And since that previous line about it hadn't really struck me as anything unusual, I was just like, why are you obsessed with this patio?
Yeah, like, God, I know your house is a hovel, but like... It's fine. People are allowed to have patios.
Oh, I miss the simple English patio.
I must say, you are not doing very well for picking up the big red flags in Death in Paradise.
You say that. We haven't got to mystery envelopes yet.
Well, that's true.
So they go there and they're like, hey, we're still investigating. We know you're sleeping with Molly. Bring me some lemonade. And that kind of rattles him.
Yeah. To be fair, Molly was like peeping out the window. So even if they didn't know before they got there, they would have known.
Yeah. So they're like, we've been to your mother-in-law's house. We know she hates you. So we're going to keep asking you the same questions until we get answers. And then they get answers.
And the answers are not satisfactory.
I mean, they illuminate some things, like the fact that Angelique came to accuse him of murder and they argued about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Have you noticed that in all three of the episodes of this we've watched, Richard's little subplot about hating the island always directly leads to him solving the murder?
No, but I mean, I hadn't noticed before.
So in the first one, his missing luggage, something about that led him to the realization, if you recall.
Yes.
Last week it was the heat stroke thing, the light.
Oh yeah, and this week it's the fact that he hates the food.
Yeah, so he has too much lime in his rum, lime, and ice, and he hates lime. And then he's like, oh my god, lime, I figured out how he did it.
Yeah, So it also really annoys me that he's like, oh my God, I figured it out. Everyone, come quickly to the accusation parlor.
Yeah.
Like, tell
Let's
your
go
colleagues.
Make an arrest.
Tell your colleagues so they can tell you if you're right.
Tell your colleague. He can even check that those fingerprints were right. Do you remember?
No. But like,
when
good point.
He was like, Fidel comes in as he's having this realization. It's like, oh, I pulled those fingerprints. He's like, I don't need to know. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's self-confidence and then there's just being a dick.
Yeah. Luther, this guy ain't.
Exactly.
So they gather everyone in Nicholas's classroom because that's how he do.
Yeah, take them all back to the scene of the crime.
I really, really did enjoy in the previous week's episode when the father of the bride was like, stop fucking around and just tell us who killed our daughter.
Exactly. Although I guess we had no relatives of the deceased today.
True. Well, relative via marriage, via law.
I guess. All right, so you want to take us through the murder?
Sure. Okay. So, first he does that thing where he systematically accuses, then rules out everyone. And it's like, why are you accusing me all of a sudden? Oh, but you couldn't have done it because why would you have done it?
And then everyone looks very smug and satisfied with themselves because they didn't do it.
So it was alluded to that Father Charles assumed that Angelique had died of natural causes because as her priest, she confessed that to him that she was dying of heart disease. So he assumed that she just had like a coronary.
So he couldn't have done it.
I guess not. But I don't think he was ever really under suspicion. Mrs. Kerr could have done it because she knew where the rum was, and as his secretary, she could get the key if he wanted.
Secretary and part-time lover.
True. But also, she didn't because he just decides that she couldn't have, basically.
Yeah, this episode was a lot of just like, no.
I mean, I guess once you've figured out what happened, from an in-universe perspective, you don't need to systematically discount everyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
Anywho, so the deal with the voodoo prophecy is what gave it away, for me at least. There's only one way she could have known she'd die in 24 hours, and who would be responsible? And how would that be?
If she did it herself.
Yeah. And she was telling the police who to suspect by pointing all the evidence at Nicholas, because she wanted to destroy him.
As revenge for him killing her daughter, which she knows happens, but she has no proof, no conclusive evidence.
So she had a plant at her house that Richard pointedly inspected when they went there, and she used that to boil and drain off the liquid, which creates cyanide. She had the gloves, and she hid them on that they pulled the prints from. Her prints were on the inside of it, and she knew that Nicholas's fingerprints were on everything in the lab.
Ergo, they would suspect it was him because his fingerprints would show up.
So he went there, they argued, he left, and then she took that opportunity to poison herself. Because she knew she was going to die anyway, so she may as well destroy her enemy.
I mean, that's a baller move.
Yeah, there's actually probably the like most sort of emotionally engaging death scene in any of these shows we've watched so far.
Yeah, definitely.
Very well shot, I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't actually remember the death scene.
Just a lot of her looking very sad and, like, slowly dying.
Oh, okay. Goodo.
So then it's like, well, she killed herself and tried to frame you. Everyone's free to go. And Nicholas starts walking away like, thank you for solving the case and thank you for your discretion, detective. And he tries to brush past him. He goes, except for you, headmaster, and then cuffs him.
Oi! Why is he cuffing him, though?
Because he murdered his wife.
Yes, he did.
What was the statute of limitations on that, I wonder?
I don't think it had been that long, though.
Okay, yeah, I have no idea.
It felt like it was a long time ago.
Long enough for what's his name to become a priest.
I was going to say, I think that's like 7 years, isn't it?
No idea. So he figured it out from having too much lime in his cocktail.
Because it tasted like paint stripper.
And similarly, when what's-his-name did his patio, he had too much lime, but not the fruit, the powdered alkaline metal, which you can use to create calcium hydroxide, aka quicklime, which can dissolve the flesh off human bones in a matter of days.
Ah!
But then, if you've done that, what do you do with the bones?
Well, if you're a science teacher, you display them in your classroom like a fucking psycho.
Yeah. That's fucked up, really.
Yeah, like, that's super fucked up. That's the worst.
And then Richard takes this moment to do one of his dumb bits where he's like, I'm going to make a prophecy now, like poor, sweet, deluded Angelique, but mine will come true because it's not based on faith. It's based on your specialty, science.
Like, shut up, Richard.
Can you just like not take this moment to dump on their religion?
It's again, kind
of a tense situation.
Yeah.
So they, in the moment, they examine the broken, or the remnants of the broken bones from the bicycle accident she met Charlie in on the humerus and radius to determine that it's possibly her, and they feel confident that they can get DNA evidence to match it up.
Yeah, DNA evidence from her mum, who has just died.
Yep.
So that's convenient, I guess. I suppose she really did die and take down the man that she hated.
Yeah, and then, like, right on the heels of that last line, Richard basically just looks into the camera and goes, well, the prophecy was right in one respect. The truth was in the bones after all. Two women are dead.
Yeah. His need for showmanship is really going to be his undoing.
Maybe that's why his bosses shunted him away off to this island.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine how insufferable that would be?
No, don't just go book him. Call everyone we've interviewed back to the crime scene. This is going to be good.
Just like, oh no, but there's a tube strike. We're going to have to wait like 3 hours for someone to get a taxi.
Yeah, for someone who's obsessed with proper procedure, you just have to make a lot of exceptions for showmanship.
Absolutely.
So, sort of start wrapping things up now, that meal scene happens where Camille's mum cooks him English food.
Which is sweet.
He starts buying cat food for the lizard.
Oh, is that normal?
I mean, you got to try to feed it something, I guess, if you want to slowly form a life bond with it.
Yeah.
Let it inside your head and your soul so it can start speaking to you and telling you its dark desires.
Exactly.
And or its sick beats.
Yeah, it's not going to do that unless you feed it only the best cat food.
And that's more or less the end of the episode. They all go to a nice meal. Everyone else is eating, like, crayfish and things, and he's having some grey pork.
It's roast beef.
Whatever.
They made point that it was roast beef with Yorkshire puddings and horseradish sauce.
And it looks so much less exciting than their food, is what I'm trying to get at, though.
Oh, yeah. It's your bog standard beef.
Now, something I do want to point out, because last time I was evolving my theory that Richard can't swim.
Yes.
And in the next time on Reel at the end of this episode...
Oh, no! Stop it.
There's a shot of him frantically shouting, don't push me, don't push me, in that little tinny boat they were in the first episode.
Oh, maybe you are indeed right.
I bet I am. But anyway, I think it's time for Mystery Envelope segment, which we don't have a catchy name for. So every week we try to guess the correct culprit while we're watching the episode and timestamp it and write down our reasoning. And then at the end of the recap, we reveal what we thought.
Yes. Mine was 29 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I suspected that it was the headmaster, and this was all going to be a weird red herring central situation.
Okay.
I was kind of right.
Any particular reasons why?
The lime.
Oh,
but
yes.
I didn't know how that would... I should have thought about it more, because I knew that them bringing up the lime meant that he had definitely done a murder, but also they found Angelique's body, so obviously he hadn't dissolved that. So I just didn't...
Not yet.
I put the jigsaw pieces together, but I didn't click them in properly.
Right. I did mine at 30 minutes, and I wrote, mm-hmm. Angelique committed suicide to frame Nick in retribution for his murdering Delilah.
Oh, well, fucking all right.
pretty proud of that one.
I know.
And basically just because of the whole thing with the prophecy, like, I felt like that was a...
Well, I was going to do my mystery envelope during the main titles. And be like, she killed herself because of the prophecy. And I was like, don't be stupid. You got to watch the rest of the episode and like make an actual informed judgment. So, whoops.
I mean, they're not really groundbreaking mysteries in this show. It's for the older set.
I know, and I still can't even solve them properly.
You got last week's, didn't you? The butler did it?
Yeah, but I didn't. I can never pick the motives.
Okay.
I can just figure out who did it.
Right.
So I'm not...
Well, good on us.
I know, and especially you know what, listen, we're still a fledgling agency. You don't need to know everything straight away.
No.
But also, yes, I do, because I that have a thirst for knowledge and also a thirst for being right all the time.
Good. That will serve you well when the lizard revolution comes.
Now, what do you think about this being a hot or cold case?
I think I've sort of had my fill of the show for now.
Thank God.
As I said at the top of the show, I've grown to like it more than I did at the first episode, but I am definitely in the mood for a change, I think.
Yeah, me too. And a change is as good as a holiday in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I was very proud of that.
So I think, as we discussed this off air, but I think next week it'd be good to try to either do one of your more spooky shows, whether that's something with an overt supernatural element, like, say, Lucifer, or something like Jonathan Creek, where it's about debunking like supernatural murders.
Yeah, because of course it will be Halloween, So that's topical to have a spooky episode.
That's the noise a ghost
Absolutely
makes.
Absolutely it is. Now, we don't have a mystery of the week this week because we forgot.
I've been busy.
Yeah. So if you do have a mystery for us to solve, so that we don't have to go traipsing around Wikipedia for some weird old things that happened, then do send it to us at...
Yeah. If you've heard our previous episodes, you'll know that there's really no limit on the sort of dumb BS we'll be willing to talk about.
Considering we went from the spare key at my house straight to the Zodiac Killer. Such a wide spectrum.
And then last week we just said the words art attack like 20 times in a row.
Oh, I forgot about that. And if you do that, that's actually how you summon Neil Buchanan.
And then he art attacks you.
So, yeah. You can email that to us at mtdetectiveagency@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at mysterytwinsda.
And if you like the show, we'd really appreciate it if you could take the time to rate us on the podcast platform of your choice, be that iTunes or Stitcher, because that's really how you help new people find it. We don't really advertise the show at all. We're an amateur production, so we certainly don't have a budget for that.
No.
Or just tell a friend, because, you know, we like to create a little community.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
You
too can be a Mystery Twins junior detective.
Oh, we should have a little fan club. We'll send out badges.
Yeah, magnifying glasses.
Yeah. Oh, man. I want to do that.
That'd be a good way to disseminate the evidence for your murder.
Send it out to a fan club.
To a mystery-themed fan club.
Yeah. And then we can host a murder mystery dinner party.
Go on.
I'm just thinking about mystery-themed fun events.
Okay.
That's all right. I've got. All right. Are we done?
Our theme music was In the Crowd
by
the
Years.
Oh,
yes, it was.
We really like that song.
We do really like that song, which is why we've ported it over from our previous podcast.
Anywho, I think we're about done here.
I think we're about done here. A little quick episode for the week. But we'll be back.
That's the sound of the door closing.
I mean, I thought it was, and then I thought you were suddenly about to launch into like a sick rap. Because the lizard told you to.
Yeah, that was a witch.
Ah, yes, it was.
Because Halloween's coming.
Great. Well, we'll see you next week for a spooky Halloween special. And until then, no yachts.
Keep watching the skies.
Goodbye.